The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey gamers, before you drop your hard-earned cash on every new game you see, why not try games before you buy them at Redbox? Rent all the hottest titles like Star Wars Battlefront for just $3 a night. Download the app or visit Redbox.com to find a location near you. Terms and conditions apply. See Redbox.com for details.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 Beyond. Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Okay.
You're so scared.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
What's happening?
This is why nobody comes on the show anymore. You just yell.
I want to leave.
Damn it.
Can you imagine? It's like the show is broken. It's like we start the show and it's stuck in a loop. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 419. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Marty Sliva.
Hi, everybody.
Brian Altano. And Mitch Dyer, who's unfamiliar with our horrible ways.
What happened to this show?
See, usually Andrew and I yell beyond at each other or other people.
So about nine months ago, Greg and Colin left.
Yeah. And you know what happens when an owner of a bunch of cats dies is the cats eventually gather together and eat the owner's eyelids because they don't really love that person. That's the closest comparison I can draw to what we've done, short of referencing any famous boating accidents. So thank you all for joining us once again on a PlayStation podcast.
Let's just call it the most fun PlayStation podcast.
Works for me. Welcome to the most fun PlayStation
the number
podcast.
Fun PlayStation.
Yeah. Woo! The PlayStation podcast where we say the word beyond more than any other of them.
Yeah.
So a big game came out this week, I'm told. Battlefront came out yesterday, last night, today, whatever day we're recording. We've been talking about this a lot. We've been kind of leading up to it.
Mitch has played a whole bunch.
Yeah. You reviewed it, right?
Yeah. The review is now live. Scored. Yeah. Finished.
What's the verdict?
I give it an 8.0.
Whoa.
That is great.
That's a good score.
That's great.
A great point off.
It's actually great. It's great on the IGN scale, correct?
Yeah. I'm also on the high end of reviews. Lots of reviews, a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the Star Wars.
No, they hate Star Wars. Yeah. No, there's a lot of criticism about the lack of modes and game being kind of shallow. Don't agree with that at all.
Now, for the record, you waited until the game was out in the hands of the public for a little while before
attaching a number to it,
right?
Yeah, I think our review went up last.
Yeah.
Because we waited for retail servers. I waited until I could play on PC and Xbox One.
That's respectable.
Yeah.
You know? I know that there was also some controversy.
I'm a respectable man.
Because I disagree. I know there's some controversy because Polygon, I think their review, they didn't go to the review event that was held. And
they did it based on access and then retail.
Right. And it's kind of weird to have like the whole Xbox exclusive access with EA or whatever. You can go on there, that version first. And it's with people playing the game, and they wanted to review it based on that. And EA was like, you can't do that. And it's like, well, why not?
Everyone's playing it.
That's a game.
Yeah. You can pay $5 and play it right now.
And yeah, I mean, between that and the review embargo for an embargo for Fallout, it's just we're getting into weird territory with something like that.
I was embargoed. So basically the way they explained the Battlefront review thing is like, so you're gonna be embargoed until 9 a.m. on whatever day it goes live on Access. Mm-hmm. Cool, got it. Went live 12 hours early, so I was embargoed for 12 hours while this game was out. So you could conceivably play more than I played,
mm-hmm.
and I can't talk about
it. Any Twitch streamer out there or YouTuber can just crank out content from that. Mm-hmm. I know I don't want to like. I hate griping about what it's like to work in games because I'm incredibly lucky to do that. It's awesome. But in this day and age, there are some serious hangups on that.
Yeah, it's just, it's a weird time, right? Like everything is going digital, and the way that media is changing, both for us and on YouTube, is sort of changing the way publishers deal with stuff like this.
Yeah.
The way that reviews go down at all, and preview events happen, and all that kind of stuff. Like, you go to a preview event now, you see more YouTubers than press people you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's just, it's very, the shifting tide is very strange.
Which is fine, you know? I mean, I think it's like, it's not really so much griping as it is sort of like depicting the landscape in which we are fundamentally
trying to do our jobs. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of chin-stroking about our job, and our very specific job. Yeah.
It's also, it's just getting weird, you know?
There's that kind of, that precedent set for quote-unquote journalists where it's like, oh, you know, if you're going to talk about something, you can't be paid off, and there's always that paranoia that we are paid off to say things one way or the other.
The review? You wait for the EA check to clear?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the check didn't clear.
Well, no, it's we're either jaded because we do this for a living, or we're paid off because we like something. And right. I was really, really pissed off at, I think, one of the comments on us being nonplussed about Fallout last week or whatever. And it was just infuriating because, like, we gave it a really good score as an outlet.
And we also had a conversation for a half an hour about this, about how one person loved it and one person didn't. And so it's like, well, did one of you guys get paid?
Well, somebody,
did Jared get a check, but Brian didn't?
I mean, to go back to that, and honestly, the feedback for last week's episode was phenomenal. Thank you for everybody who listened to
really
that. Overwhelmingly positive. A lot of people said it was our best show yet. We're going to try to throw that into the toilet this week. But no, I think it's important that people understand that it's not always that binary, or love it or hate it. Like, it is possible to be gray about a game or a movie or an experience or anything like that. And it's also, you know, things change, things grow. You can have an opinion on something that a year later you can look back and be like, I was really wrong about that too. Like, I know for me with Arkham Knight this year, I was really enjoying it as I was playing it. And then the more I kind of dug into it, the more I found its flaws. And the more I've distanced myself from it since, the more I've kind of been like, I don't know if I really enjoyed that experience.
Totally with you.
Right? And it's weird, right?
Especially on that game.
And I think during the moment, you can kind of be like, this is happening and this is great and this is fantastic. But things change. And you know, I'm glad people are becoming open to having that conversation. I think, if anything, this show is creating a place where people can come together to have a passionate, intellectual, and very stupid conversation about games that they would have with their friends. And that's more important to me in a lot of ways than sort of just saying this is a number that you would put on something.
Yeah, I mean, amazingly, the environment that you're surrounded in and the experiences you've had and the things you like affect the way you interpret a game.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that changes from person to person.
Yeah. So let's talk about Battlefront. Let's talk a little bit about what it's like to play that hot new game, Star Wars Battlefront.
Uh-huh.
You remember that time we pre-ordered that game, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time? That's a cool thing you can do in 2015.
Yep.
You could pre-order it digitally.
Yeah.
And the way it works on the West Coast is that when at the strike of midnight, when all the carriages turn into pumpkins on the East Coast, you get a little notification on your PS4 that says, Star Wars Battlefront is now available to play. I was sitting there waiting for that to happen last night, and I popped it right open, and it gave me a weird error that said it needed to update, and I should go to my download notification thing. And I said, okay, and I went and checked that out, and it said it was still chugging along downloading. And so I sat there waiting, watching a progress bar for it to be downloaded all the way, in case this was some erroneous notification.
Yep.
And then it never worked. And
I never got the download bar. I never even got that.
I mean, you might have.
I got the, you can't play this right now because your game is not updated. And then I clicked updates and it said, your game's fully updated. And I was like, okay, so one of these doors always lies and one always tells the truth. But neither will let me in.
Right. So we both, I'm angry about this, but I'm also hesitant to say we stupidly pre-ordered this. Like, we've played enough of the game. I know there's this misconception where you pre-order something and you get something that's different from what you expected.
Right.
We didn't get the thing. Like, we didn't get access to the game. This is not an issue of the game starting up and us being like, oh, we can't find a server. This is the game fundamentally not
the
opening.
Application from the dashboard did not
You execute. Open the pizza box and it's full of moths. There is no pizza in there.
No, it absolutely didn't deliver on something that was promised it would do, which is let us play
function
yeah. day one at midnight launch or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like it said, you can start playing at blah blah blah, and that's why I bought it, because otherwise I would have probably gotten a copy from work, or I would have gotten to a store and picked one up or whatever. But
that's
the
annoying thing is, like, you guys pre-ordered the super duper edition, right?
Mm-hmm. So this to get into it, Max and I both got the $110-$120
yeah.
season pass, because we're like, we love Star Wars. We're two of the biggest Star Wars fans in the world. And I'm like, you know what? This thing's going to deliver all year round. It's going to be cool and fun and give me great experiences. Most of the people who got the Ultimate Edition last night were the ones that got screwed. So people who got just a regular version or a disc version or anything else were jumping in, and they were playing perfectly fine. And I'm on a group chat with you guys, and all of you, everyone's in there playing, and Max and I are just like, doesn't work for me. And I'm sitting there. I have like a 2-foot Star Wars Black Series Tauntaun sitting next to my desk. I made a vodka soda in a Return of the Jedi Burger King cup. Like, it's sitting there. I had my Chewbacca hoodie on. My wife's in the other room watching Empire Strikes Back, because she was like, oh, you know, if you're gonna play Star Wars, I'm gonna go watch it. And I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm just, instead of having a good night, I'm angry, and I'm refreshing tech support and hashtags, and I'm googling error codes that look like the name of a failed droid.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just awful. So yeah, our first experience last night was not. I was texting you guys, and I was like, if this was my Battlefront commercial, mm-hmm. where that guy goes to jump out of his window and land in an X-Wing and fly away, I would have smacked against the window and bounced back into my office. And my my boss would have come back in and been like, sit down at your desk and get back to work. Also, throw out that wretched old R2 toy. Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm gonna say this. Marty, get your pen ready.
I'm getting my pen ready.
Sorry. I'm so mad about it, though, because, like, that's the thing is, I don't know if this
is EA's censor top hat.
I don't know if this is EA's deal or Sony's deal, or
no,
what.
So I looked this up. This is EA's deal. This has been happening with a bunch of their games before.
Really?
We lucked out, because I was able to update my licenses this morning, which I tried doing last night. Thank you, by the way, to the people who were helpful on Twitter. Thank you, by the way, to the people that weren't.
Should have bought it on Xbox.
Which is just, like, the worst thing in the world to do. Like, it's obviously not a real problem to have. Okay, let's all get that out of the way. This is I am a first world boy,
yeah.
in a first world country,
yep.
with a first world job and a first world face, and that is a first world ass problem to have on a first world night. That's out of the way.
Don't
Sorry.
Put the pen away, Marty.
Sorry.
I'm not going to.
That's there. But that being said, like,
that doesn't make it not a problem.
Yeah, it doesn't make it not a problem. That's just a thing that I had to deal with. And, you know, okay, I got in this morning, everything worked fine, I played a bunch of rounds, it was a great time, game is really, really fun. But last night, I couldn't get in there with everybody else. And anyone who paid the most couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of how that should work.
So the part that,
That's the opposite of how first world problems should be solved with more money.
The part that bugs me the most is that, like you said, I was like, I have a friend who offered to grab me a copy. She works at EA. She's like, hey, do you want that? I'm like, that is so cool. That's so nice of you. That's wonderful. And I came into work yesterday, and I was like, you were like, did you pre-order that? And I was like, no, I'm gonna get a copy. And you were like, what's wrong with you? We're playing at 9 tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Well, that was a big plan. It was like a big event.
Yeah.
And don't put this on me.
No. I know. And then I go. You open up the PlayStation store, and it's like, day one.
Yeah.
Play it. And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. I like that.
Yep.
There is this service that is you open up the PlayStation store. It is there, front and center. It is right there. And
you push
a button, mm-hmm. and it doesn't give you the thing. And like, we have a beta to make sure the game doesn't explode when you start it.
Yeah.
Or if it does, it's a really cool explosion. But, like, why not beta test the way that the game opens? You know,
yep.
like, that's the thing that really, really bugs me is, like, we give passes to games that have janky stuff in them, stuff that's sort of broken in terms of the actual gameplay. But, like, the game didn't turn on. And that seems like a really, really, really
It wasn't
big
moths
problem.
In the pizza box. The pizza box didn't open.
There was no pizza box. I ordered the pizza. It never showed up.
Like, people were asking
Somebody
me.
Somebody threw
like,
a rock at my door. People were asking me, it was an unrelated rock.
Is that a better experience in Fallout? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't gotten stuck in a wall yet in this game because it won't even let me do that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even go experience all the wonderful glitches that you get for jumping in day one on an online multiplayer first-person shooter. Yeah. I couldn't even get that far. So the worst thing, and this is where it really sucked, was that if you went into the store, it was just like, you didn't buy that game. And I was like, yes, you did. It was all great. It was all like, you had all the options to buy it again. So actually, I got like so angry that I actually added the digital versions of the game to my cart again. I was about to just rebuy them and then just...
I'm going to rage give you money.
Yeah, I was going to rage give them money, and then my plan was to get on the phone with Sony for like an hour and a half today and just scream.
Well, we're sort of doing that with our podcast.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's weird. It's
okay. All right.
Weird
well,
to think
look,
about
let's,
it.
Let's out of our systems.
Yeah, I don't want to be too negative. Okay. I will say that like if I go to see The Force Awakens opening night and the projector doesn't turn on,
yeah,
they will give me my money back, and they'll probably be like, a lot of people will be really angry
with me. I might literally have a heart attack if that happens.
Like that would people be really upset, you know? And that's a thing that does happen in real life sometimes. And it's we don't really have a version of that.
This would be more like if we went to see The Force Awakens and all the whole theater was full of our friends, but you and me got kidnapped and tied out back.
We just suddenly go blind and deaf.
Yeah, you can hear all of us screaming and excited.
Like, that was the other thing. I have the Battlefront companion app, and all my notifications were popping up on it, being like, "Your friend's playing it right now." And I'm like, "Why am I not blood playing this guy?"
No, I mean, like, if I'd gone to the midnight launch and the guy at GameStop couldn't open the door, he's like, "Oh, sorry, the manager has the key. I don't know the security code." You're like, "Oh, that sucks." But like that's kind of, I mean, there is no corresponding situation here because this is kind of a new way of doing stuff on a platform.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, I'm still gonna get the game. Like I still have the game. It's cool. But like that thrill of playing it first night has been thoroughly spoiled.
Yeah,
so.
That's fine. It'll be replaced by 60 hours of joy.
Are you a gamer on a budget? Then try games before you buy them at Redbox for just $3 a night. Rent this year's hottest titles like Star Wars Battlefront to feed your gaming habit. Download the app or visit Redbox.com to find a location near you. Terms and conditions apply. See Redbox.com for details.
So yeah. Let's talk about the joy of Battlefront. What are your favorite parts? What's the cool?
The Star War. No, seriously, this game has like what an amazing soundscape, visual design. Everything about this game aesthetically is just like it just bleeds Star Wars, Ralph McQuarrie, original trilogy. Everything that you love about Star Wars is right there.
There's a really fascinating thing happening with Star Wars right now in that they're making new versions of it that look better than ever, but they're also realizing how much of the original vision was tethered to the 70s.
Yeah. And so, like money, because Fox just didn't give him enough.
Yeah, and it's so like there's explosions in Battlefront that should look more like modern video game explosions, but they don't. They look like 70s fireworks,
70s pyrotechnics.
You know,
yeah,
or like so there's points where you shoot a guy and he should ragdoll out of there like he would in GTA 5.
Yeah,
but he doesn't. It looks like he's getting yanked off by ropes on a film set in the 70s. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're nailing that. And it's the stuff like that that they easily could have overlooked, right? And they could have easily just made a first person shooter. But instead, they're like, let's get those little weird Star Wars levels of details in there, you know? Which I just totally appreciate stuff like that.
Yeah. It's like even when you're flying around in a TIE fighter, like when you blow up an X-Wing, it's not a gigantic fiery explosion. It's like a splash of sparks and smoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's like some flame in there.
Pieces of it flying off.
Yeah.
Too.
Like the wing goes flying off. You see the cockpit flying away.
The most frustrating thing is we've got big TVs around the office and then somebody's been live streaming Battlefront here, and I just keep walking by it getting like sidetracked where it's like, you shot Slave One in the face, and I was like, oh, that's so cool.
This
and
is like the rare game where anytime there is gameplay happening in the office, the entire office just flocks to that screen and just watches because it's the most fascinating, cool, fun thing.
And we're all
watch.
Jaded and paid off, so that's a lot of content going on.
It's stunning, the
wing of a TIE interceptor just floating by, and I'm like, that looks like crap, but in a really good way.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like they blew up somebody's model kit.
Yeah, I was playing a map this morning, which by the way, like I got in and I played 30 minutes before work, and I left for work. A, completely satisfied, and B, kind of wanting more. And I was like, okay, that's what I want out of this game.
Yeah.
If I can sit down, if I can have that little block on my home menu for the next year or two, and I can go, I can pop in here, I can get a couple of kills, I can upgrade a little bit, get a couple of points, maybe buy a gun every 5 or 6 times I do this. That's the experience I'm looking for. And I think a lot of people were kind of asking me, like, you know, is this going to be your game of the year? And I'm like, no. It's my favorite toy this year, though. You know, like it's a cool thing that I can play with whenever I want. Mm-hmm. It's not going to give me a 200-hour RPG experience like Fallout. It's not. Like, if you're looking for it for that, I think you're going to get burnt out. It's not going to give you even something like an Uncharted game or a Tomb Raider would give you, because there's no story. Really.
It's not even like a great competitive game like a Battlefield or a Call of Duty or a whatever. Like, it's not. the spirit of this game is not winning. It's just kind of being there and doing cool stuff and watching amazing things happen.
I love that.
Rather than focus, and it, like, I get really annoyed when my team doesn't focus on the objectives and they're just trying to get kills. But man, it's like really hard to deny how amazing it is when you're in the middle of a firefight with literally 10, 15 other guys on the other side of a hill, and a TIE fighter comes screeching in and gets too close to the cliff and like hits it and spins off and explodes, and an A-wing comes flying by, and like, it's those moments where you're just like, Jesus, this is amazing.
Yeah. I'm treating it like it's this like first-person shooter Star Wars arcade cabinet that lives on my PS4.
It really does feel like a toy box. Like it is like, I don't know, like their pitch was like the Battle Fantasies or whatever, but man, it really captures that sense of like childlike imagination of, okay, I've got this rebel soldier, and then Boba Fett comes in, and there's an AT-ST that comes in, and it gets like chopped in half by Luke Skywalker. That's all that stuff come to life. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the my childhood inability to separate Star Wars from real life come to life in a game.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, there was the woman who came out from DICE, Sigrelina something. She gave the press conference.
The senior producer.
And she's lovely. I got to interview her afterwards on our live show, and I remember just like the thing that really stuck with me is she talked about running around as a little kid with, like, I think she said, like, popsicle sticks. Like, that was the thing she made a blaster out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, I liked that. Like, when I would like, kit-bash my Super Soakers and Nerf guns and make custom blasters and just run around in my yard playing, like, imaginary Kyle Katarn. And, like, here's this thing that seems to kind of cater to that. And, like, the fact that there is no story is kind of cool because you're going to make it up.
Yeah.
Like, I like that you can put on your Chewbacca sweatshirt and you can sit there with your vodka soda and your blue milk or whatever.
Man.
Yeah. Weird, like a weird, scary guy in a cave.
Hell yeah. I think that's obviously the no single player thing is a big thing. It's a big thing. But now that I'm playing it, it's not.
Yeah. I don't miss it.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm one of the biggest proponents in the world. Like, I'm always fighting for a good single player campaign. I feel like that whole era where multiplayer games were shoehorned in, sometimes like at the sort of regret of what the single player could have been, mm-hmm. was bad and dark for our times. I don't like the fact that like multiplayer only games ship all the time. I think that this one specifically is just so much fun that I'm okay with putting that aside. And like what Max is saying is sort of just like the story is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what's happening. I know what the rebels are doing. I know what the Empire is doing. I know why I'm there.
The thing I keep saying too is like, if you want a really amazing Star Wars story set in this game, there are three films available to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you're also, with there being no story, you're not feeling left out. Like, there's no sense of like, oh, have you gotten to the part yet where the thing happens? And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen. You just kind of figure it out. You get to explore and like shoot stuff.
And the conversation ends up being like, oh my God, like you should have been there the other night, Max. Like all three of us were in there. We're in this squad and this crazy thing happened.
Yeah.
Let's go on tonight and see if we can make something else happen.
Like I had a moment during the beta where I was on Hoth and I'm running through one of the tunnels. And which, by the way, is just...
They're called Tuntuns.
No, they're not. Which, by the way, is just awesome that you can even do that, right?
Yeah.
That you can be like, oh, this feels like I'm on set.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to the places I've never seen. Like, that's why I always geek out about, like, I see, like, overhead. Like, my mom's an architect, and she's showing me, like, blueprint maps of, like, built the police stations she's working on. And she was like, oh, we had to put the
that's
vents.
That's a dangerous thing to show
you. Yeah.
Well, she had to redesign one once because prisoners were figuring out how to escape through the vents above their cells, and she went in and like
dun 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 dun
dun. And she basically had to figure out how to redesign this police station, and I got to see the blueprints of it, all of it, and I'm like, that's so cool. And I think about like, what are the blueprints to Jabba's palace? Like, where do all those tunnels go? Like, is there a back door to the Rancor pit? Like, where's Bib Fortuna sleep? What's his life like?
Pile of trash,
a little basket by Jabba's bed.
So I'm running through this hallway on Hoth, and all of a sudden somebody calls in Darth Vader, and Darth Vader shows up and he's running ahead of me and he's force choking dude after dude and just throwing them against the wall, and I'm behind him as like a trooper with my little blaster, and I'm like, all the guys he's missing I'm shooting in the head, and I feel like I'm ambulance chasing the coolest like cop car in the world. But it's just such a cool experience, and I don't know, like, I mean, maybe you could get 100 writers in a room to script the scenario that works exactly like that every time you play it, or you could just get in there and discover something like that, you know, like that gif going around of Luke Skywalker force pushing a guy off a cliff into an incoming TIE fighter, and they just collide and explode in midair. I don't think that's something they'd ever write in the story, because
Luke would never do
that. But it happens here, and that's so cool that that's just like, it's there to be found, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been really curious. I think that one of the things that disappointed me sort of early on was knowing that it's four planets at launch, mm-hmm. and then playing the beta and being like, it feels like there's not a lot here. And some people are still having that feeling. But it's 12 maps, right?
Yeah.
13.
Okay, what are the...
They, like, stealth added another one. I don't know which one it is, but they've been saying 12 forever, and now suddenly it's like, oh, there's 13 in here.
All right. What are the coolest ones? What are the best ones?
Altano and I were talking this morning. Like, Rebel Depot is a really good map, especially for, like... I don't love cargo as a mode. I think it's fine, but it's a really good map for Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
Like, Rebel Depot is really good because it's, like, symmetrical with, like, winding paths on the outside, big centerpiece, Millennium Falcon in the middle... And then lots of, like, hangar bays and stuff like that for other vehicles that you can hide in.
Like Luke's land speeder that's just chilling there.
Yeah, it's, like, lots of stuff like that, right? Like, I like that map there. In terms of, like, Walker Assault, I'm a big, big fan of the Tatooine map.
Yep.
That's really good in Supremacy as well. Like, you have one side with the Imperial spawning, and there's, like, this... And it all comes down to landmarks. Like, it's always stuff you recognize that makes you go, like, oh, it's obviously, like, I like this map because I like the sound crawlers are a big choke point. And then after that, we, like, run toward Jabba's palace and have that big fight underground before we get to the, like, whatever, like, departure bays where all the ships are hanging out.
So much that would suck if there was an actual battlefront going on outside Jabba's palace. There's, like, a whole bunch of hungover Weequays and Nikto inside. Yeah. Salacious Crumb has probably got high-pitched noises really upset him, and there's TIE fighters screeching around.
He is part dog.
Yeah.
What I think what people need to understand is that, like, when you think, like, Tatooine, like, you're like, oh, that's the whole planet. And so it's just you're running around the sand. And it's like, no, the way they break that down is that, like, one of the stages is in Mos Eisley, and it's, like, tight-knit, and it's chaotic and crazy, and there's that hangar in the middle. But then you go outside, and you're, like, up in the hillside where there's the Jawa sandcrawler. And you
look off the Jawa refuge?
Yeah, and you look off to the side, and there's this, like, city built into a mountain that you've never seen, really.
Which, if you play the tutorial, it's like, oh, that's, like, deep into Beggar's Canyon.
Yeah.
So, like, it's creating in your mind, like, this map of Tatooine mm-hmm. that you've never been able to really piece together.
Yeah. And it looks like when I was in Italy and they would just build houses into the yeah. mountains and stuff.
How did they get up there? How did they,
like,
build those?
You're like, what is that? That's off in the distance. And I had a couple times, like, I was actually playing this morning where I was running through a Wampa cave and there are all these skeletons on the floor, and I stopped to look down and I'm like, what did that dirty bear eat? And then I got shot in the head because I saw the smell of roast.
It bugs me out that there's no Wampas in there.
I kind of wish there was a mode, like, just a mode where you can just a map exploration mode where you, like,
that'd be great.
Model.
Yeah, see, I kind of wish Survival had that. Yeah. Like, put actual little elements of survival in it, like a Wampa bar.
We've talked about this before, about how cool it would be if it sort of had the, like, flora and fauna of Evolve, where, like, there were things on the map that would fight anything that comes near it. Yeah. So it's not a good Wampa or a bad Wampa, it's just a Wampa that'll kill anything.
Yeah. I was playing Disney Infinity this weekend, which is really good too.
It's so, like, good. It's really better than anyone thinks it is. Yep. It's like a cool open world RPG.
Yeah, if you want a good Star Wars game that isn't Battlefront, that's really good.
Yeah.
But there's a Hoth part where they're like, go get this guy was putting up sensors and Wampa's got him. Get him out of this cave.
The mission is so good.
And you gotta go rescue him, but then snowtroopers show up, and I was, like, playing this with Jen, and she was like, and she's like, she knows what happens in the movie, but she's like, why are there snowtroopers here? We're, like, rescuing Tauntauns and going on, like, and I'm like, it's dumb. It's a dumb toy game. It's for babies. I like it. And the Wampas start throwing around snowtroopers, and I'm just like, this is really, really silly.
They're dealing damage to the Wampa, and they're helping you, and you finish them off, you kill the Wampa.
I want that, but in Battlefront. Yeah. Like, I want that real big and loud.
I feel like they're getting all the top-level stuff out of the way, and I'm really, really hoping that, like, through 3 months from now, 6 months from now, they get allowed to start being weird. And you can hop on a Tauntaun the same way you can hop on a speeder bike, where, like, you turn a corner in Jabba's palace, and there's a hero kill where 7 Kowaki and lizard monkeys jump on you and pull your eyes out. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
So you were talking about how you guys got the season pass, and this week EA detailed it a little bit more.
We got some detail here. 4 expansion packs, early access to the expansions by 2 weeks, and an exclusive shoot first emote.
That's real dumb.
I will say real quick, the emotes are really stupid.
Yeah, don't buy those.
I don't save your
credits, buy weapons.
I mean, we got 4 for free with the version we downloaded. I don't feel like calling that for free is something I can do.
Also, like, I never use
it. It doesn't have value.
That's the sentiment people have had about a lot of this stuff. And I can see why.
But there's actual cool stuff in here.
Yeah.
So 4 new heroes.
4 additional heroes and villains. Not sure who yet.
Yeah.
4 new game modes. 16 new multiplayer maps. And over 20 new pieces of galactic tech, including weapons, vehicles, and star cards for both Rebels and Imperials. And you also get 2-week early access to each expansion pack.
Okay.
So I'm still feeling a little bit wonky about having paid $120 for a video game.
Right, because what you've paid for is functionally more than half the game after it's done.
Yeah.
And this is where I start, like, and I think Battlefront is a great game on its own. Obviously, I gave it an 8. I think it's a great game. I think if you buy it now, you'll get a lot out of it without a season pass. However, the amount of content in that season pass is awesome. And it's kind of the opposite problem we always have. Like, you look at Tomb Raider season pass, and it's like $30 for next to nothing.
Yeah.
That sucks. This is like $50 for, don't put new modes in this game. 16 is a lot of maps. It's more than half of the game is on this season pass.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of your complaints in the review, right? Was that there's a lot of, and I know people were giving you hell for this, but there's a lot of modes in the game that just aren't that great.
Yeah.
And your argument was that if they weren't there, this would actually be a better experience because those are splintering people off who would be playing the better modes.
They're also just like really unfocused, fatty, bloated modes that just don't need to be there. It's like three heroes running into each other in a cave is a decent prototype idea, but that's something you test and you go like, oh, this doesn't work at all, this is not fun, let's get it out of here.
Which is weird, right? Like, how do you basically fault the game for having more than it
options,
should have?
Yeah.
Right, like, it's always a weird question.
I mean, that was the problem when I reviewed Battlefield 4 for IGN. Dan and I argued for hours, like actual hours, about my score because I wanted to give Battlefield a lower score based on the campaign being bad.
Yeah,
because it was awful. But the multiplayer was incredible. And Dan's point, which I eventually came around to agreeing on, is if the best part of the game is a 9, then the game is probably a 9. Because if that's the mode that people are going to play, like, you can't, like, yes, you can fault the game for having problems, but like, looking at the campaign and the multiplayer as a package, well, the game is still amazing. The multiplayer is still amazing. And that's, if you're going to play it and have that, that's an amazing experience. But no, the campaign's not very good and you would never play it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's one of those things, like, it's just a constantly ongoing conversation, especially as these games change.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty big insight to how much it costs to make a AAA video game in 2015.
Yeah,
that
for real.
They are charging this much for a season pass,
yeah.
And that's not to excuse them, but, like, I mean, we are used to games costing $60 at launch, which is,
yep.
like, kind of a steal when you look at what goes into them.
Kind of a steal? I'd say it's a huge steal. In 2015.
Mm-hmm. The Witcher giving people 200 hours of content for $60?
I mean, yeah, like, I wasn't...
I
was
a Fallout?
I was kind of lukewarm on Fallout, but if you pay $60 on that game, you're going to get hundreds of hours of content.
Phantom Pain for me, I'm like 60 hours in and I'm nowhere near done.
Yep.
That's way more than any other medium's going
to
get.
And again, we're still like doing that thing where we compare time to value, which
it's a little weird.
An issue in itself, but like, I mean... Yeah, EA probably threw a disgusting amount of money at this, and you know, I'm dying to play it at some point.
So
that'll be cool.
Looking at Crystal Ball, at these things, 4 additional heroes, 16 new multiplayer maps. I imagine those are going to be on some different planets.
Yeah, and I would imagine
who's on your short list of
Kylo Ren and Finn.
Yeah,
Kylo Ren and Finn are obvious. Like, I'm sure the first expansion will be a Force Awakens. I take it back. The second expansion will be a Force Awakens expansion because the first one will be whatever they're working on now. And the second one will be, okay, the movie's out. We're finally allowed to touch The Force Awakens. Let's do it.
So this will be when they get in that sort of territory where, I mean, and they're already kind of there, but where they can kind of be like, we're just kind of making stuff up as we go, right? Because it doesn't make any narrative sense to have young Han Solo and Kylo Ren facing off against each other on the same battlefield, right?
But yeah, but that's kind of fun, but it doesn't matter. It's like, why would the Emperor fight Leia? Why would...
He hates that woman. Because I think, like, I mean, like, after seeing BB-8 roll around and get it, you know, blown up and stuff like that in the TV trailers for the new movie, I'd love to see him as a sort of, like, defense mechanism character.
Man, that would be great.
I mean,
they
could come out and basically he could bring you an item inside.
Yeah, like
of his
he runs
thing.
Around and like heals people.
I mean, imagine
that's traps or something.
As one first,
I think first we're gonna see original trilogy characters. Like, we'll see old Obi-Wan. We'll see maybe Lando.
Well, you're
Chewie. We don't have Chewie yet, right?
We don't have Chewie.
There is a bowcaster in the game. Like, there's a Wookiee bowcaster.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not.
But
good
we were
item.
Talking about that. Like, we were talking about the playable characters, which are pretty straightforward, and there's a couple of cool alien races once you get real deep into like level 50 stuff, level 40 stuff. But you know, the characters like Wookiees and stuff would be 7.5 feet tall and they'd probably be huge targets.
Yes.
Hope they figure out something there.
I was thinking it might even be like they might dip into not prequel era stuff, but like between prequel and original trilogy stuff, like Clone Wars, like Ahsoka Tano would be a really good one. The Inquisitor from Rebels would be a really good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, we've started seeing this with some of the action figures, but taking like Kanan and making him look realistic, you know, as opposed to the Rebels blocky look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want some kind of B-list, C-list characters from the original trilogy. I want Dengar is top of my list.
Yeah, that'd be cool if there was like a rest of the bounty hunter pack.
Like Dengar, you can basically pop ahead on repainted snowtrooper armor,
or a fat mummy from. Or a fat mummy from some cool mummy.
Yeah, you could just take a grown man and put a diaper on his head as a hat and make him look like unhappy, and he's Dengar.
I think like an IG-88 busting through a door and just like walking around like the liquid Terminator shooting things. That'd be awesome.
Like even weirder, like a Wedge Antilles Red Squadron leader, like an X-Wing hero.
Yeah.
Like something in the air.
That'd be cool. I think it'd be a pretty lazy kind of like reskin, you know, to spill. Yeah. Oh, it's a cooler X-Wing.
But if it's got... better mobility, new abilities, higher health, whatever, right? Like, there are ways to make that interesting and terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, man, I want to see, I'd love to see, like, some throwback stuff, Kyle Katarn, Dash Rendar, even if it's just like, hey, here's the Briar pistol from Dark Forces.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I worry about, too. Like, I mean, everything's so tight with the story canon now, like...
I don't think they can touch that.
Like, that's the thing. Like, obviously, this game is not canon in terms of, like... The Emperor never beat up Leia on Hoth.
I mean, they made up some new guns, which I always thought was really like not anticlimactic, but like it's weird that like at this point you can kind of count the stuff that is official canon EU, according to Disney post kind of reboot, and the fact that they just did kind of glue a bunch of virtual crap to more virtual guns in this space, and like that we have like a Rebel rocket launcher, and there's that weird kind of like long range machine blaster pistol thing, whatever.
And it all fits. Like, I think it's all visually totally interesting and appropriate.
I mean, the general kind of style guide for Star Wars weapons is take something from World War II and glue some rebar onto it.
Yeah,
that's
camera parts onto
into it.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. This is obviously something we're gonna keep experiencing for a while at least. The rest of the year, at least next year too. If we're in the
2 weeks till Jakku.
So, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
man.
December 1st.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll be talking about Star Wars Battlefront a lot. Let us know your experiences with Star Wars Battlefront. Send us an email to beyond@ign.com,
and
we will read them on the show. If you ever force choked anybody or hit an emperor in the face with a
you were about
droid.
To say hit a woman.
I didn't say woman.
That's awful.
The emperor's
Stop
kind
it.
Of an old
Stop
woman.
Stop it. Actually, here's a literally fun, here's the a fun piece Strikes of Back. Trivia. The first appearance of the emperor in the Star Wars films in Empire Strikes Back was Rick Baker's wife with a bunch of latex foam stuff glued to her face and then chimpanzee eyes superimposed over her eyes.
All right.
So the emperor was first.
That little hologram in Empire?
Yep, that one that was like, "Hello, everyone, it's me, the Emperor."
Yeah, if you want to get into our weird warp brains, Max and I are both reading this really awesome Star Wars costume book, in which I read the other day that the character Bib Fortuna was named after a time when George Lucas was feeding his daughter tuna, and he needed a bib for her.
Ne wana wanga, ne jabba no bada.
Look, it's the airplane.
The world is weird.
Yeah, I would believe it or not, that woman became a cage fighter when she grew up. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a piece of non-news. I was scratching my head at this one. We had an article about how Naughty Dog has, quote, at least one more, unquote, game for PS4.
But maybe two, but also maybe more.
The question I think was, is Uncharted 4 the only game you'll be putting out for this console? Like, this PlayStation-exclusive game that Sony is putting money into... Are you going to acknowledge the length of the lifespan of the device on which it is appearing? Mm-hmm. No, like there's no answer. Like, of course they're going to make another PS4 game, and if they're not, of course they're not going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, sorry, we're working on 3 PlayStation 5 projects. Like, no, Sony wants to sell PS4s right now. Uncharted 4 isn't even out.
But also, Naughty Dog is the studio that put 4 games on PS3. So, like, yes, they're going to put, you know, they are working on multiple other games right now, just like Uncharted 3, The Last of Us, and probably Uncharted 4 were all being developed simultaneously.
Yep, just like The Last of Us 2, and something else is probably in development.
Yeah. To be fair, Naughty Dog has already put 4 games on PS4. They're just last gen's game.
There you go. It was just all of their PlayStation 3 games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, when asked about the studio's plans, Naughty Dog community strategist Arnie Mars told Finder, I would hope we would release a game pretty soon. That's good. Our development cycles aren't too long, and so I have no idea how long this console generation really is going to last. But yeah, there's no doubt it should be in this console generation for sure. He continued, I mean, I have no doubt. I don't know what the timelines are, but we have at least one, maybe 2 games left in this console generation, maybe more. Clearly, we can release a game really late in console generation and do well. I love what we do here, but sometimes I'm just like,
Did this need to go? Did we need to have this talk? Did we learn? We didn't really learn.
I could have given you that news story. Yeah.
We're in that awesome time in a console generation cycle where things are just firing off on all cylinders.
Yes.
Right? Everyone's making games. First party companies are figuring it out. Third party companies are figuring it out. There's no end in sight. We're not talking about PlayStation 5. We're not like things we want from the next PlayStation. We're not. I dread that day, by the way. Because that already means that we're pushing the things away and we're moving on to the next thing and we're going through that whole cycle again. But we are like probably early to mid dead center of a console generation right now. I think we have a few more years on either end.
Here's the thing.
Things are going well.
We are just coming up on 2 years.
Yeah. That's nothing.
2 years.
That is nothing.
Just this week.
We just literally had the 2 year anniversary.
Next week, November 19th?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
That's a real good console generation so far. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
It's funny also to look 2 years into the last generation and be like, we're getting to that time where Gears of War 1 came
Oblivion.
Out. Uncharted. Yeah.
And if you think back then, it's like, okay, that was when things really started to pop off. The last generation was a very slow burn.
Yeah.
Very slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what are we comparing it to? Last gen was what, fifth generation if you're counting or something?
Whatever. I think it's Gen 7 is what EA calls it.
This is new territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like video games are constantly a new thing, and that's awesome and exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of unpaved territory.
It was the original title for Uncharted, by the way.
Yeah, unpaved territory. About a guy who doesn't like to drive on bumpy roads.
So he goes real slowly.
A dog tag spotted in the N7 Day trailer appears to read Rider or Rider, which is – this is, of course, the Mass Effect teaser they put out for
Andromeda
Mass Effect Andromeda.
On N7 Day.
Reddit user Benelliato, who made the discovery, theorizes –
speaking of Italy.
Yeah. Theorizes the name may be in reference to Sally Ride, the first American woman in space, as Shepard was named after the first American man in space, Alan Shepard. Theory may also shed light on why Johnny Cash's Ghost Riders in the Sky was used in the teaser. BioWare did not address the speculation on the music, but studio director Yannick Roy did acknowledge in a recent tweet there are very
good
reasons.
It's actually pronounced wa.
ROI is pronounced wa.
French.
ROI is.
Speaking of France.
Anyway, there are very good reasons for that choice of song for the trailer that should become clear later on.
Yes, because the game is about space, which is in the sky.
Yes. great point. This seems like pretty well balanced here.
Yeah.
We already know a decent amount of what Andromeda is probably going to be about because they did that same thing where they put out this massive survey where they were like, what would you like to see in Mass Effect 4? Working title. And then it was like, they did
would
the same
you
thing
like
for,
this story?
Yeah. They did the same thing for Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah.
So everyone already kind of knew everything that game would be about.
Maybe just don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like, to refresh everyone's memory, Mass Effect will be like post Mass Effect Relay. And basically, it's kind of a frontier again, which I really like.
I think that's really exciting.
Like while Shepard's doing all the big galaxy-saving stuff over here, you're playing as this like almost archaeologist going out into space. Like I'm going to use the relay to go over there and see what's over there.
Like,
and
I have no idea what
stuff.
This planet is. Yeah, I love that idea.
Me too.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I mean, just the idea that space is this unknown thing, and it's not just like
it's
oh,
a
no,
Star Trek game now.
These
of
guys
Star Wars.
Are trying to come and invade us. We should fight them. It's like
I really do like that. I mean, it's a Star Trek game now instead of a Star Wars game.
Yeah, Ryder.
Until they give you the glowy fist knife and you shoot things a whole bunch.
How do we feel about Ryder as a name?
This theory is one of those things like you hear it and you're like, oh, come on, man, this is a slam dunk. This seems super strong.
Yeah.
Also, like I could already imagine like male Ryder, femme Ryder, like that kind of thing. Like that name.
Male Ryder.
Yeah.
Ryder Strong, star of Bandits World, Sean Hunter.
He's also in Cabin in the Woods. No. Cabin Fever.
Pancakes.
Okay.
He has a very strange sexual experience.
That was a real bad one.
No,
yeah,
I'm absolutely. If this theory holds true, I'm absolutely playing Mass Effect Andromeda as Sean Hunter from Boy Meets World, and in this case, the boy will meet Galaxy.
He'll meet a lot of worlds.
Ryder Strong.
Yeah. Ride or die.
Yeah. Here's some news. Jade Raymond and Motive working on an AC-style game. Rumor?
Shocking.
Okay. Expressing their interest last month at expanding into the action genre, EA CFO Blake Jorgensen confirmed the game.
It's actually pronounced Jorgensen.
Shut up. Get out of here, Marty.
Speaking of Sweden.
Okay. Confirmed that the company has begun work with Jade Raymond on an Assassin's Creed-style game. They immediately received a cease and desist from Ubisoft, who said, excuse me. No, that didn't happen. We never really operated in the largest genre of gaming, and that's the action genre. It's a really vague genre. They could have said open world.
Yeah.
Guys, in related news, Sandbox. Brian Altano is going to eat a pizza-style dinner soon.
Yeah. We've hired Assassin's Creed pioneer Jade Raymond to work on our upcoming game, Bubble Popper Quest, for mobile devices. Yep. It's a game worth bubbles and popping. It's going to be a hit. Yeah.
I mean, Peter Moore told me the same thing. Like, when we did the big feature about EA 2 years later, like, he said the same thing. Like, yeah, you don't hire Jade for anything other than what Jade does best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
this is a giant gap in our portfolio. You know, games like GTA and
AC.
That's also, I mean, Batman. We've said this, but I mean, EA really hasn't done any open. I mean, Dragon Age Inquisition, kind of.
Yeah. It's getting there. Yeah. Yeah.
They've seriously. I mean, Battlefield has kind of those elements, but it's a shooter. Like, Frostbite can clearly handle large open spaces, but it is very noticeable that EA hasn't tried to do any of that stuff.
And like we were talking about this year, that seems to be like that is the trend. And in all the games we've been talking about this year, from Metal Gear to Batman to Witcher to
Tomb Raider
to Fallout, that's what people want. Thing that's not going away.
Nope. Bloodborne even.
Yeah. Yeah. Bradburn.
What do you think this would be? Like, I'm going to go to a limb here. I don't think it's going to be an Assassin's Creed game.
No, I don't think so.
No, it'll be a new
Murderer's
IP.
Murderer's Promise, coming soon from Electronic Arts.
No, it'll be a new IP. Like, that's what they're doing, is they're helping on Star Wars and then doing a new IP.
I hope it's Yarny.
Oh man, God. Yarny just running around stabbing fools right in the necks.
Yep.
Open world Yarny game? I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to follow your yarn back to wherever you go. If you keep playing forever, it's just like a big red map.
You get tangled on some stuff, a car drives by and pulls you back, and you're stuck, and you never get to move anymore.
We call it Yarny, straight roping it.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I said roping on the podcast. I don't know. I'm not going to write it down.
We have a segment called The Roping Report. You remember that? Jeez. Get it together, guys.
All right. Get it together, boys. We're almost done with this stupid show
Let's get out of here.
Thank you, everybody who listens to this, by the way. We have a really fun time doing it.
Yeah, we do.
When you guys enjoy it at home, that makes it more fun for us, because we don't read the comments and cry. here's the thing. Street Fighter V tutorial mode features young Ken and Ryu.
I think that's really cool. I think it's cool for a tutorial mode to sort of
shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, that's kind of what... That's
the day in high school where they found out they both wore the same clothes and they have to fight, right?
Yeah. Also, I promise you, these character skins will be $5 a week after launch.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah, I don't know if we'll see anything more
about
this. The second day of PSX has a giant Street Fighter V tournament, and I don't know if we're going to see who the last character is or if we're going to see any of this, but that's in a couple weeks. It's terrifying.
Cool.
Yep.
It's real soon.
Can't wait to not be here.
Yeah,
yeah, you're going to Canada.
Canada?
Yeah.
For Canada?
Nope.
All right. Fallout 4 sells 1.87...
Take 2.
Fallout 4 sells 1.87 million digital copies in 3 days. Holy crap.
Crazy.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Also, no one releases digital sales numbers.
Yeah, like, when you can flaunt that, like, you're doing all right.
Yeah. 1.2 million sold on PC. Obviously through Steam. I mean, they did that thing, you go on Reddit and games or whatever, and like the day it comes out and it's like, hey, here's what everyone's playing, and this happens with Skyrim, this happens with GTA, this happens with obviously with Fallout, and it's just everybody's playing this game. Mm-hmm. It's just a game that people play. I mean, I've heard that it runs best on PC, so
yeah no, it definitely
I'd
does
say the menus seem most
plot
kind
twist
of,
yeah. And then they also said that they've shipped 12 million copies since launch, and that's shipped, not sold.
Yeah,
I would imagine that's 9-10 million sold.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's not a ton sitting on the shelves, especially not of the, you know, special editions.
Not a megaton.
Yeah, definitely not a megaton.
Okay.
Nukes.
I think that Goldfarb wrote this. Persona 4 Golden is $9.90 on sale. Go buy it, you monsters.
Yeah, absolutely. $9.90 is on PSN.
It's a big PSA. Yeah. For 10 cents more, you can also get Super Star Wars, a Super Nintendo game that they ported to the PS4 today, which is pretty awesome. Not even
if you don't want to play a game about high schoolers, you can play a game where there is no high school, and so you can just go running off with crazy desert wizards.
Have you guys played that game lately?
Yeah, Star Wars.
The game is f***ed up. It's so hard.
It's really hard.
You have to finish the first level without dying to proceed. You have 3 lives, but you don't have checkpoints. You just go back to the beginning.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Why?
Real tough.
Because you babby. This is the way games used to be.
I remember I played that game as a kid. I finished it. Like, I remember my dad figuring out that if you shot the TIE fighters incoming shots, you could delete them and they wouldn't deal damage.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, we did it. We finished the game. How?
I don't know.
What?
I remember watching.
I think
my
we were better at games
game.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people
unlimited
just
patience for yep. punishment.
I added a story super late. This is a story we our entertainment team interviewed Norman Reedus probably about The Walking Dead, but then we had them ask a real cool Silent Hills question, and we got a good answer.
Because this is this is their curse now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who worked on Silent Hills is going to get pestered by IGN for the rest of their lives. Yep. And rightfully
the Hills
so.
Will not remain silent about this dream project all questions. Of us wanted to see.
Yeah. So he sort of stirs the pot a little bit.
Norman, I love his quote
Norman
here.
Reedus, obviously from The Walking Dead and the main dude in Silent Hills, said, quote, I'm super bummed that about what happened back in Japan, but I have faith. I have faith that we, the three of us, can do something else. He then went on to say, there were so many ideas and cool features happening that were thrown around. I just can't see us not picking this up somewhere.
Yeah.
Merle and Daryl in a game. What could be better?
They did that already.
Yeah, that was a real bad game. You played as two races.
I love the idea of the three of these guys just being thrown together as this like ragtag group of renegades that nobody wants to work with, but one day they're going to make a game together. Like, that's just so cool to me. Yeah.
Also, it's probably fantasy. They're probably not going to do that.
Yeah, that's
some cool things that people wrote in. Edward Hooten, darn Tootin. A quick question for you about temporary exclusives. Do you think that with releases of games like Rise of the Tomb Raider as a temporary exclusive on Xbox One, that its eventual re-release will be better, include more content, be more stable, improve graphics, etc., when it eventually releases on PS4? Much like how consoles generally get improved with new SKUs at lower prices, early adopters on investing just to get these exclusives early. When they could wait and get a potentially improved version later on. Also, with these releases of games, for example, when Oblivion came to PS3, it had improved graphics and extra content. What do you guys think? Will PS4 owners get the definitive version of Rise of the Tomb Raider? Hell yes.
Absolutely. The consolation prize for waiting a year is you will pay $60 for the game that we have paid for over the course of a year to get the complete version of. Also, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, when it came to PS4, they did another expansion with, like, more story stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if they do another season pass. When the game comes out again.
You know what you're going to be getting? You're going to be getting that Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga is the first DLC.
It's the only DLC.
It's the only DLC for Tomb Raider. Like Baba Yaga's a witch, and you go into her den.
Wait, really?
Okay, yes, are we in the factual world right now?
That is the real.
Your warped
it
brain?
Is, no, it is you finding the witch Baba Yaga, and I think fighting her and stealing her witch goods.
Happening?
No, yeah. I think it's just a tomb. I think it is one tomb puzzle.
But it's Baba Yaga's tomb.
Isn't she the damn witcher?
Is she?
Kind of.
Maybe.
There's those weird chicken house ladies.
So anyway, I think, 100%. That being said, if you can find a way to play it now,
you
should.
Incredible.
Because
totally
it's really great right now, too.
One of the best games of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last week we talked about, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't know, a million years ago, thousands of years ago, we talked about what it's like as a bunch of childless idiots, what it's like raising kids with games.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We got some great replies. Josh wrote in to say, my son is 4, and aside from educational smartphone tablet games, the first game he was exposed to is Plants vs. Zombies and then Mario Kart 8 because the motion controls made steering much easier for him. He now uses his overconfident little voice to convince me that he has what it takes to play Super Mario Wii U and is obsessed with playing the free drive training in Rocket League. The second he sees me playing a game, now he tells me, I know how to play this game. Let me show you.
That's
we try
awesome.
To get him outside to
this
play,
kid
too.
This sounds rad.
Yeah.
But like that, he enjoys gaming. Thanks for the show, and as always, a hearty beyond to you.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Josh, that is adorable.
You think you got this little man here? Just take the control. Yeah, infiltrate that outpost and Fulton that man out without getting caught.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, like, what do you wean children on now? Like, what games? Like, it made sense when we were kids. Yeah, I know, I'm writing down my profanity. I'm writing the S word. Stop slapping
it. You just could have called him Code Talker. It would have been fine.
Yeah, oh,
Navajo
like
Talker.
You say it now, too.
All right. Let's see. Paul wrote in to say, last episode you asked gamers with kids to write in about how they introduce their kids to games. I use my classic consoles as an introduction to gaming since 2D is simpler than 3D, and after playing Mario 1 and 3, and plenty of iOS games as well, my son is now 4 and plays Mario 3D World as well as some PS4 games like Arkham Knight. Oh, dear
what?
Lord. Where he basically just glides around and occasionally punch a bad guy, in quotes.
Pretty good.
I think doing this has paid off because he enjoys the older games and doesn't mind the graphical difference and is better at games overall. I have friends with older kids than mine that didn't play classic games, and when they come over and try, they are really bad and can't even beat the first level of Super Mario Bros. 3. But my 4-year-old can. I think it's awesome. These 4-year-olds are awesome at games. This is great.
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys said last week about this, but I think there's nothing wrong with raising your child and just lying to them and replicating your childhood and saying the Super Nintendo is new and this is all you have.
Yeah.
And then we talked about that, but I said it's basically like it's like telling your kid that he needs to take a horse to school and that there's no modern medicine yet. It's a little weird to sort of be like, well, none of these books have been written yet, and history hasn't happened yet, just because you're trying to replicate the experience you had growing up. you know?
I like the idea that, like, they go to school, like, oh, my friends have a shirt with a thing that says Minecraft on it. You're like, that doesn't exist.
Nope.
That's not real.
That's
not real.
See, that's the thing, though, is, like, we've got stuff like Minecraft, which really, it looks, it doesn't look like a new game. It looks like a big, it looks like a 3D Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Like, it, voxels and stuff are not high-tech looking, and you look at something like Angry Birds, and sure, it's, like, it's anti-aliased, and it's a bunch of 2D stuff, you know? It looks like a Flash game. And then you have something like, I don't know, you know, give your kid just Mario, like classic stuff. And it's like people have been trying to ape that style for the entire time it's existed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Shovel Knight. That game came out last year.
Yeah.
And that's a game that looks like it's trying to be like it came out in 1987.
Oh, so what you're saying is you can let your kid play only modern games, but you want to pick the ones that look like old school.
Yeah. I'm saying you put an old game in front of your kid and just feel like it doesn't matter.
No, I don't think
because there are
care.
New games that look like those games. Like it's. I mean, we're kind of. I think we're appreciating that. Is that the simpler the kind of the interface, the more accessible it is.
And also, most children don't know what bad graphics are until they meet one of those people at school that tells them about that.
Well, Sega Genesis looks better than Super Nintendo,
which is something they got from their older brothers or something. You know, like once they meet their once they have their first fanboy argument in a cafeteria, which like literally in sixth grade we had a Sega versus Nintendo argument that ended with a friend of mine across the entire cafeteria getting hit in the face with a carton of milk that was wide open. And his friend stood up with a textbook to try to swat it out of the way and swung at it and missed and hit himself in the
belly. Oh, man, I didn't know you went to NeoGAF Elementary School.
This guy was like, Sonic the Hedgehog is the best character in the world. And he stood up and this kid threw a carton of milk. So it was skim milk, too. And it went across the whole room and hit this kid in the face. And the other guy swung a book to try to hit it and he hit himself in his own fat belly.
Gotta go fat free.
That's console wars to me, though. That's why, like, I can't even get mad at the internet right now because it's really I've been in the war my whole life on the front lines, getting hit with milk.
I like when you throw milk at somebody, it looks like you shot a replicant in the Aliens universe. Just got Ian Holm sitting on the ground.
I've been
getting
one
mad
of those,
at you.
I've been one of those weird hippies just putting flowers on your rifles and
just trying to be peaceful.
We got one more letter from a proud parent.
They're all games for fun, man.
Russell
classic
wrote in.
Boxes,
Master
man.
Chief and Samus are both cool.
Stop that. Russell wrote in, first time writing you guys. I've been listening for a couple years now. I have a 6-year-old boy, and I got my PS3 about a month before he was born. The first game I bought for it was a Sonic Ultimate Collection.
Whoops.
My son still loves to play Sonic games.
Right
the first game we ever beat together was Toy Story 3, which worth noting. That was an Avalanche joint. That was kind of the precursor to the Infinity. Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole toy box mode. People love that. I actually really enjoyed that playthrough. He did get into Disney Infinity 1.0, but there wasn't enough to hold him for very long, and I couldn't stand playing that game.
Dude, his play favorite, 3. It's awesome.
His favorite games currently are basically anything in the Lego series. His first game that he beat on his own was Lego Marvel Super Heroes. That was a proud day for me. He's since beaten 2 more Lego games and is starting to show interest in Minecraft. Oh, they grow up so fast. I don't really play Lego games with him much because I hate the controls and can't invert the camera. Oh, you're old. We had a lot of fun with the Trials Fusion and Stealth Inc. Anyway, my plan is to introduce him to some Nintendo stuff next, but he asked me for a Vita for Christmas, so we will see.
Ooh.
Thanks for putting on a great show every week, especially the drunk E3 episode. Russell.
That was the only episode that had more swears than this one.
Yeah. And that's still the thing. Anytime anyone brings it up, I'm like, we were allowed to publish that?
Yep.
Marty didn't get fired?
No, the secret is you put your bosses on it and you can't get fired.
Yeah.
There you go.
That guy started his child with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
And historically, that's usually people go to jail after that.
He started the show with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Parents can go to jail.
On a PS3.
That's how you create a villain.
Wow. Yeah. Was it Sonic 06 or was the collection?
No,
the collection.
Okay, good. Because if you start a kid with Sonic 06, you're picking him up from a juvenile detention center a year later.
He's going to go outside and start punching cars.
And
your
third act of Chronicle. You have to have an interview with the people from Dyfus in your driveway.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Sonic 06 is an affront.
You're not wrong.
Brian, it's time for Rapid Fire.
That's
would you
right.
like to take us away?
Where's my damn
Rapid
papers?
Fire, of
it's
course.
The bottom
is the
of
thing
this one, the top of this one.
We do every week. You can go to the Beyond Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond. And
yep.
Brian usually calls for questions on there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of lively folks in there with great memes, chuckles, and jokes. Sometimes they don't like my jokes.
So we got one from Brad Griffiths, which I think we covered on before, but what other heroes would you like to see in Battlefront? I think we got a good list so far. I want a Jabba the Hutt that falls from the sky and lands
really
on
good.
And he's like, oh, and he just falls out and flattens
Fortuna.
A guy. Yep. Diego Rodriguez, speaking of the Dominican Republic, says, what's helping the gaming industry grow the most right now, and what's dragging it down the most? deep conversation for a quick
Seriously.
One.
Mobile and mobile.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Very good Damn. Answer.
Nailed
I mean,
it.
It's changing the way that we play games, but yep. it's also yep. not how we want to play games.
Free to play as well, in the same breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Santa Maria, speaking of the North Pole. What is your
what?
Speaking of a boat, what is your favorite life memory that is related to a franchise, such as PlayStation or Star Wars, like getting your first console, etc.?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Gaming or
let's do Star Wars. What's your favorite Star Wars memory?
It was when I was introduced to Star Wars. I was walking through my living room, whatever I was doing when I was like 9 years old, and my dad's watching The Empire Strikes Back, and he's like, "You want to watch Star Wars with me?" I'm like, "Man, Star Wars sucks." I had no idea what Star Wars was.
Really?
Never heard of it in my life.
Your dad seems really cool, by the way.
My dad's rad.
Playing games and yeah. with you. And
I
would have
thrown
movies.
You out a window.
Yeah, and he's like, he basically was like, "You idiot, sit down, watch this movie." And I watched the like Act 3 of Empire Strikes Back. My life was changed.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a really messed up way to get someone into Star Wars.
Yep.
Hey, son. Here's a great surprise.
So I'm the oldest of three brothers, and I moved to New Jersey from Jersey City in New York. So I was always just like kind of isolated. I hung out with my brother, but that was about it. I never had any older friends or older brothers or anything like that. So I moved into a house and I met this neighbor named Jeff Braden, and his basement was like, he had two older brothers and they were huge Star Wars fans. So he had like a Star Wars arcade cabinet in his basement, and he had tons of toys and stuff like that. And we would go over and play video games, and he was just getting away from action figures. So he gave me just a box of Return of the Jedi figures, like, and I didn't know who any of the characters were. And he was like, "Oh, it's this movie, Return of the Jedi. You got to go see it." So I went to the video store, and they had two movies for $2. And I rented A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. And then I went back the next day and got Empire Strikes Back. And I figured out that these things go in order. And one by one, I watched all the Star Wars movies. We kept going back to the video store and renting two out of three of those movies, because it was always two movies for $2 for 2 days. And me and my brother rented Return of the Jedi so many times that we burned the tape out in the video store. But I had all the toys, and they were all like the weird deep cut figures, you know, like, and
Rancor janitor.
Yeah, like the Rancor keeper, and, you know, like a bunch of the weird aliens, the yellow guy with the long arms. And I'm just like, who are all these characters? And I would start seeing them popping up in the films. And little by little, like, you know, we would look through magazines and books and look at pictures and figure out the names of them, or make up names for the guys we didn't know. And
still
that's
do that.
I still do that. And that's what got me into Star Wars to begin with. And that's why I'm still here today.
Yeah. I weirdly have a very fond memory of the midnight showing of Revenge of the Sith, less for the movie and more for, like, it was right when I was getting out of high school, and, like, we went to – there was a couple-year span where, like, we saw, like, every cool movie that came out at midnight.
Right? Yeah,
midnight
I did release, that like, same thing.
All the
Lord
of the
Rings
stuff,
to do that now.
The Matrix movies.
Because your body could stay up that late.
And it was back when it was actually midnight, not the, like, well, it's 6
it's
p.m.
9,
show.
Yeah.
Did you wait in line?
Yeah, we went in line. We waited in line, like, 6 hours, and, like, I just remember it being awesome. And it was one of those things, like, God, the movie, I was like, it wasn't great, but, like, I was super jazzed.
But it was also, like, the end, right?
Yeah, totally.
This is the last Star Wars movie they're ever going to make.
Yeah, whereas now, like, we're going to get that sensation in less than a month, and it's going to be like, this is the first Star Wars
Can't
movie
wait.
Of the next 40 years.
Yep. It's happening.
Yeah, I totally – I remember – I had fun seeing Episode 3 in theaters. I was second in line. Like, we showed up to the theater, and, like, there was one other person in line. He was this grown man in a Jedi costume, and it was just me and my friend showed up and waited in line behind him, and I was like, anybody cuts in front of you – I'm gonna be real pissed because you deserve to be here in front of the line.
So you're wearing a Jedi robe.
And then, like, he was so, like, he wrote a letter to the paper afterwards, like, the next day, and he was like, I was so pleased with the behavior of this town's teenagers. So it's really sweet. He's like, they were all really lovely, and we shared our love of Star Wars together. I don't know if I can pinpoint, like, my favorite Star Wars moment, but I think it was the summer. I don't know how I got into it so much. I think I got... Yeah, it's really weird. It's kind of this – like, I was on TV a lot. I was on USA. They started kind of trickling out toys, and I got, like, that transforming 3PO head playset.
Yep.
Before I'd even seen the cantina scene somehow, but I'd seen a bunch of other chunks of it. And
he wasn't allowed in there.
Then somehow I just, like, got sucked in
so
completely.
Ironic.
Yeah, right? That's really weird. But, like, I think it was the summer after fifth grade – which was a rough time for me. Like, I had it was like that kind of, you know, go watch Inside Out. It's that, like, angry, like, pre-adolescent, like, 11-year-old phase. And then I got into like, all the expanded universe, and I started reading, like, Tales of the Bounty Hunters, and I was just stoked on Boba Fett, and just, like, I was like, this is really nerdy, but we're still in that wonderful kind of grace period where no one really cares. Like, you're still young enough to get away with kid stuff, mm-hmm. but you haven't entered that horrible kind of, like, gauntlet of people being like, I care what you think. And, like, one of my best friends who, like,
I had a crush on in fourth grade. She was really into Star Wars, and we'd both like bring our expanded universe stuff to school. And then like a year later, she like fell out of love with it. And then like we got back in touch in college, and she's like, "Yo, that was messed up. Star Wars is awesome." And I was just like, you know, everyone kind of comes full circle. And like, Brian, you and I have had like a kind of 11-year-old boy renaissance this year.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I think you guys are having the experience that I had a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
like I listened to this other podcast, the Star Wars podcast called Rebel Force Radio. Those guys completely changed my life. Like their enthusiasm for Star Wars did the same thing that's happening to you right now, where like it just lit the fire that it hasn't gone away.
Yeah,
anyway, that was exactly it was walking around Star Wars Celebration with Max for a few days and being like,
Max, huh?
You were there too. You were working your ass off. Yeah, we were just kind of like starting
around.
We were shooting some fun videos.
But no, like the moment, I don't know if we've talked about it on here yet, but like this was so cool. We went there and we were in this crappy like Motel 8.
Oh
my
God.
We're sitting there and our producer Blair had to take this, like, we flew in the first thing in the morning. He had to take this wicked hangover dump, and he's just in this bathroom with like a super like thin like plywood door, and we're just here like, and we're like hunched over your phone, and we're watching that press conference. They bring out BB-8, and we're like, "Oh, that's cool. It's an actual robot. That's crazy." And we're out there kind of talking about how Star Wars is cool, and J.J. Abrams is there, and Kathleen Kennedy's wearing a nice jacket, and everyone's just like, "We're like, okay, show the thing." And then they show the trailer.
Yeah.
And the two of us are just hunched over your phone, and we're just breathless. And then it ends, and we're just like crying, and we're just like, all of this enthusiasm is just. Like this thing we thought was totally screwed up and dead forever has just like kind of resurrected in front of us, and the movie might still suck. There's that chance. The projector might go out in the theater.
No,
the midnight showing.
Saying it.
But like we had that moment of just like pure childlike enthusiasm.
Yep. While our producer was taking
a dump. I was about to say, did Blair ever get over that diary?
Blair comes out of the bathroom, and he's just like, and we're like, tear a toilet flush, and he comes out, and it's just like, and we're just like crying and hugging each other, and he's like, "Eh, what'd I miss?" And then we spent the next 3 days running around. I got a tattoo of John Mollo concept art for Snaggletooth, who's like the dumbest cantina alien, and I'm just like...
And I'm like rooting around in boxes of toys. There's kids next to me, like holding, "I got a Yoda" and stuff like that. Like, that's what I've always appreciated about Star Wars, which I feel like I've always looked for in almost everything I've ever gotten into, right? Whether it be video games or music or whatever. Like, I was really into like hip hop in the late 90s and early 2000s. Was that like, I really like things that are so incredible top level, but there's like a couple of threads that you can pull out that can go for a million miles if you know where to grab them. And Star Wars has always had that, right? Where it's like top level, like this is really cool. It's very fascinating, very fun, like very adventurous. But if you want to really start digging around in there, like we're reading costume books now. We're watching making ofs.
Yeah.
I'm watching a documentary about how many people they fit inside Jabba the Hutt, which is six.
You know, a lot of
like two underneath to hold up his taint, and like it's just weird.
A lot of the little people who played Ewoks had messed up feet.
Yep.
And apparently the custom-made Ewok slippers they gave them were the most comfortable shoes they'd ever worn.
Wow.
Which is really depressing because they're like, well, I can't wear these out in my regular life because they're property of Lucasfilm.
And all that stuff is just there for the taking now. Yeah. And if you know where to look and you know where to find it, like it's really – like I was watching a thing last night where they was talking about how the sail barge scene from Jabba's Palace took like 6 months to make because a crazy man with a beard and a flannel shirt walked into a desert and said, "Let's put a boat here." And a bunch of people did. And then they blew it up. And the whole scene took 5 minutes.
It's
and they
the
gave
cold open of a movie.
It's crazy. And it's all there. And you could walk away from it, or you can just maybe play a level in a new video game, but it's all kind of there. And I love the tickles, like all, like I love the weird dark sci-fi of it. I love the goofy art school reject side of it. I love just the fun narrative of it. Like all of it is right there for the taking, and it's happening again. And this is a really cool time for that.
Yeah. So that's why we paid $120 for Battlefront.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
If you'd like to deal with it, you can. Yeah, I would like to deal with it at some point myself. If you've got complaints about anything we said in the last hour and 20 minutes, you can send them to beyond@ign.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity with two G's and two T's. Brian is Agent Bizzle. And Mitch Dyer, you are M. Dyer, is that right?
Mitchie D.
You're
I'm thinking of my email.
Oops, my bad.
Whatever,
spoilers.
Dude.
Could have guessed that probably.
Yep.
Dyer. Circumstances for you.
Send your questions to us, comments, love, hate, whatever you got. We want to read it all.
Don't
no,
do that.
You can do whatever you want.
Don't waste your life.
We're growing.
Don't waste your life hating anything.
Mitch,
where can they catch you?
We spent the first 15 minutes really angry on this show. Yeah. They're allowed to do the same.
Yeah.
Mitch, where can they catch you?
Go read my Battlefront review. That's live on IGN.com right now. Working on a feature about best stealth levels. Oh, that's live now. That's live today. You can go read that. Just Mitchie D on Twitter. Yeah. That's it. That's all.
You do any podcasting
right
at all?
Overclocked is IGN's PC podcast. I'm also on Unlocked, the Xbox podcast.
Traitor.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Mitch, traitor.
I'm sorry. I like all the platforms.
You also
like
do Rebel FM, right?
Yep.
You're on a lot of shows.
You can catch me and Brian Thursdays at noon Pacific time on Up at Noon, which is a live thing. We do record it, and we put it up after the fact, so keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. Marty, you also do podcasts Unlocked.
Yep, I do Unlocked with Mitch.
You weasel.
I'm a little weasel, just a little
you
dirty rat boy.
Any stuff you're working on you're proud of?
By the time this goes live, I posted my review. It's not a PlayStation game, but it's a
Take two.
What's the Mario Tennis game? Mario Tennis Ultra Smash.
There you go.
It's not a very good tennis game. Don't play that game.
Rip.
Yeah, it's a real bad game. And then we're in the thick of planning all sorts of PSX stuff. We found out some real cool secrets. That's going to be a very cool show.
Yes.
Nice. Really? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I mean, not right now.
Yeah, we'll turn off that camera.
Can you give them a hint right now?
PlayStation 5.
I'm very excited about something.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to point out to everybody that the X is the Roman numeral for 10. It's quite possible that PlayStation 10 will be announced at PSX. Just going to throw that out there.
If you've seen the movie The Departed, there are X's all over that movie, and that movie is about people departing. So,
Also DMX
there
is going to
be
there.
A murder mystery.
Yeah, DMX. Shout out to DMX.
DMX is going
to
be there.
He's going to give it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big fan of podcast movies.
I wish they did PSX Go and Give It to You.
I love it. If you'd like to have a great time, I highly recommend everybody just go on the computer and type in DMX riding a horse and look at a picture of that man riding a horse because it's out there and it's great. On that note, beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond.
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 See, you got it. There we are. They start out scared and they come right on home.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.